from the Director of Department of Family Care submitting an informational report regarding community relocations. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Ms. Ledger. Mr. Hodgson.
Good morning, Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors. The report that that I prepared for you lays out what Family Care has done in the past and is currently doing in terms of relocations of enrolled members from institutional settings. As I stated in the report, we've updated you in the context of other informational-only reports. However, deinstitutionalization is obviously at the forefront of everyone's mind, so I thought it might be helpful to lay out briefly for you what our process is and what successes we have seen in terms of moving people to the community. As I said, we, at the time of the report, and numbers change on a daily basis, we were serving more than 7,893 members. When an individual enrolls into Family Care, they're assigned to an interdisciplinary team. That team goes through all of those items, which I won't enumerate for you, but all of those focus areas in meeting with an individual and putting together their member-centered plan. What that plan seeks to identify is what their outcomes are. And I wanted to put a note in here in terms of what we consider an outcome, because it's something that we continue to emphasize to our interdisciplinary teams, and I think it's good for everyone else to know as well. My shorthand for it is an outcome is not stuff. An outcome is you want to be more mobile. You would like to be more independent in the community. You would like to spend more time with your family. An outcome is not a scooter. It is not a ramp. That ramp may help you to be more mobile and spend more time with your family, but your outcome is really what you want to achieve. So I think that's an important note, and we continue, as I said, to reinforce it across the board. So for people who enroll in the program whose outcome is to live in a more independent, more community-based setting, the team works with them to identify options. What the Department of Family Care Managed Care Organization has the benefit of is what we call our placement team, which is the individuals who just as a side note, who are geographically present with Mr. Natsky at Underwood. Those are some of the individuals that we rent space for out at that setting. What that team, which is primarily registered nurses and one human service worker, what their responsibility is to understand and be very familiar with all of the residential options that are in our benefit package. That's a pretty large expectation for some 300 care managers and nurses, but I feel pretty comfortable that I can make six people really drill down into what's available, what might meet someone's needs. So your member says they want to move into the community. We would expect the team to meet with the placement team to talk with them about geographic preferences. Does this person need someplace that's wheelchair accessible? What makes sense for them? And so they put together a plan, identify some options, and move forward with that individual and their guardian or power of attorney, if there is one, to make that transition to the community. That's really the responsibility of every managed care organization, and that's just day-to-day business. The program should always be focused on how are we helping people live as independently in the community as possible. So I pulled some numbers in terms of what our placement team tracks of individuals in nursing homes. And as you can see, in 2011, we had 570 people who moved from nursing homes to the community, which seems like a large number, except you have to also remember we were serving almost 8,000 people. Now, some of these nursing home stays, if an individual goes from a hospital to a nursing home, the first portion of that nursing home stay is a Medicare stay, and they may be going to the nursing home because they're not quite ready to go home yet. But I feel very strongly that we still need to intervene to make sure that that short-term stay doesn't become a long-term stay, that the teams are meeting with that individual and, again, helping them get back to their home. So that's what we managed in 2011. In 2012, there was an even larger number of people that moved from nursing homes back to the community, in some cases to their homes, to their apartments, to group homes, but out of that larger institutional setting. When I looked at what we, what the placement team and the interdisciplinary teams had done in terms of community placements for 2012, and again, I just wanted to highlight this piece because it is such a topic that's at the forefront of everyone's understanding, is that even prior to any sort of downsizing at the Behavioral Health Division prior to that announcement, there were, again, because it's what we are supposed to do, there were, what, 10 individuals who were relocated from BHD back to the community. So that's something that should always be going on apace with every long-term care program. There should always be an identification of people who want to move, who have an ability to be in the community. So, you know, we moved one individual. Actually, I think he was the first person that we moved in subsequent to the downsizing announcement, who had really had a history of institutionalization dating back to 1944. This was someone who was placed in an institution when he was 4 years old. So we were extraordinarily happy, as was his guardian, that he was able to be in a more integrated, more community setting. This is obviously an individual who is at one end of the age spectrum. And we also have, clearly, we are now serving people 18 to 59 with physical and developmental disabilities. We also had, in much the same time period, another gentleman who was 22 years old moved out. That's, again, that's our responsibility to do that for the individuals who are enrolled in our program. I have a very active, very talented contracts division. We have cost-effective contracts negotiated with over 950 providers. We have a very rich network of residential providers, everything from agencies that support individuals living in apartments to smaller adult family homes to group homes. There's a very rich continuum of services available to individuals. I feel comfortable saying it, that most of those existing providers are very active and interested in expanding capacity if it's needed to serve additional individuals. But also, I wanted to also highlight that as we move people out into community settings, we're also very mindful of their health and safety as well as their own satisfaction. So we pulled our member satisfaction data, and if you see on that last page, 93% of the people that we serve are happy with the quality of services that receive. 91% would we recommend this MCO to someone else who needed services, and it goes on. So we want to make sure that we are doing the right thing with members, that we are assuring their health and safety in the community, and that they are really receiving the right services at the right cost and in the right place to meet their outcomes.
Very good. Can you ask, I have a couple of questions. What is the largest number of people that you've ever relocated at one time in the family care program?
At one time. I don't know. I don't have the exact numbers for Madam Chair and County Board Supervisors for previous nursing home closures. I know.
Dove Nursing Home.
Okay, Mr. Hudson tells me this might have been slightly before my time, but when Dove Nursing Home closed, there was 150?
Well, it was a facility size of about 150. They weren't all in family care, but a substantial portion of those were in family care.
And Madam Chair and County Board Supervisors, the other thing that happens when any nursing home announces a closure, there's another simultaneous closure going on. But what happens is that individuals from the resource centers will go out and provide options counseling. So people who have not been enrolled in any managed care program are now afforded that opportunity. Since nursing homes are in the family care benefit package, we would see a higher number of referrals.
The other part of that is that you can't force somebody to register for family care. Is that correct? So you can go out and give them the options counseling, but if they in the end opt to not be involved in that program, there's really nothing, we can't mandate them into the program.
Madam Chair and County Board Supervisors, that's correct. I mean, this program, as is all the other long-term care programs, are voluntary. Now, what that means for an individual is something that I think the state has to play a role in terms of providing some guidance. If you have an individual whose legal guardian won't sign, the question is, are they then in the least restrictive environment that meets their needs? If you have a legal guardian and you're in a facility of a certain size, you typically also have what's known as a protective placement order. That protective placement order says you are placed by the county in the setting that is that best meets your needs in the most integrated fashion. So that protective placement order provides the county with some oversight in terms of where that individual goes.
And as far as where they go, do we run the risk of them not being able to be placed in Milwaukee County?
Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors, do you mean in terms of
their placement?
Capacity? I mean, when you speak of running the risk of them.
So because we have so many, because we're transferring so many people into the community, mm-hmm. is there a possibility that we would not have an appropriate placement with them within Milwaukee County so that we would then move them to Waukesha County, Racine County, Kenosha, whatever?
Madam Chair and County Board Supervisors, there's two answers to that. One is what we have done thus far. When we look at where the best geographic location is for someone, it's to meet their needs. If there are complex family dynamics at play, a setting perhaps farther afield might be more therapeutic and more beneficial to that member. But if an individual has their guardianship and their protective placement through Milwaukee County, that individual, regardless of where they live, keeps Milwaukee County as their county of legal responsibility. We've had members enroll who, when they enrolled in the program, were living in Shawnee County. Those, because, right. you know, decades past, individuals lived at Northern Wisconsin Center right. in Chippewa Falls or at Southern Wisconsin Center. So while they may live there, they are still the responsibility of Milwaukee County.
Okay. And in your experience, how many times has the state given a waiver and raised the capitation rate for individuals who were moved from a nursing home setting into the community and needed additional dollars in order to do that?
And for that one, I will defer to Mr. Hudson, because in the past, the state has approached that funding differently than they currently do, correct?
Correct. Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors, as far as an exception to the rate, as far as it relates to family care, mm-hmm. you have to make a special request. And a couple years ago, when nursing home, I'm speaking to a specific service category, it would be nursing homes, we had asked to pay a little bit above the Medicaid rate, and they allowed for it. Recently, they have not allowed for that. It may. Oh, community relocations.
Mm-hmm.
What there there is some current contract language that would allow for a small stipend up to $100, but it's nothing substantial as far as the capitation rate. There's no increase to the capitation rate there.
My concern, obviously, is that Family Care is a managed care organization and has a capitated rate. So getting adequate funding and supports approved by the managed care organizations, just from my experience, can be challenging. And so if you're talking about, you know, putting in – and I know that lately they haven't been, because they sit on the CMO governing board, that they haven't been giving those additional dollars. So –
Sure, Madam Chair. There was at one point when it was directed towards some of the ICFMR relocations and stuff like that. There was the Peterson Healthcare facilities where they were downsizing. There was the state had agreed to the MCO would put together a care plan, and they would evaluate that care plan, and if that care plan was over and above, if they approved it, and if that care plan's cost was over and above the capitation rate, they did reimburse us dollar for that care plan. Those were only on selected individuals. They haven't, right now, they haven't recently done that in the last 2 years,
okay.
but they used to do that.
Okay. All right, thank you. Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Baldwin.
One of my concerns about this whole downsize. You are not the only medical care unit, but they keep talking about your organization, and you do not have all the county residents in your organization.
Right.
And people need to make sure that we work with everyone for the best interest of Milwaukee County. even though they want to close these units, but you are not the prime care person. So that's my only concern. And even though you are broadening your provider service to a number of different places, wherever you place them, you still will be within the Milwaukee County area. This is going to be a very interesting times, and I hope that you are not trying to be the blunt of all the things to try to help BHD to downsize certain things without looking out for the best of our patients and the residents of Milwaukee County.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I wanted to ask a question about group homes. It popped in my mind yesterday. You have institutionalized placements, not only general large institutions, but the smaller institutions as well. How many of are members of your organization placed in group homes as well? What percentage?
Madam Chair and Supervisor Bowen, the continuum in terms of residential services goes from very large group homes. Now, for persons with a developmental disability, that's not an option that's open to them. The state has put restrictions on the size, believing that a smaller, more integrated setting better meets the needs of these individuals. But we do have very large nursing homes. We have group homes, eight-bed homes, and adult family homes that are either 1 to 2 bed or 3 to 4 bed, as well as some fairly high-need individuals, again, who reside in their own apartment with services coming in to meet their needs. In terms of the percentage of people in residential services who are in non-nursing home-based services, do you know that number off the top of your head, Jim?
No.
I can pull that information fairly easily and get that to you. So we do have, people are in, that whole continuum of service needs. And those facilities, whether large or small, are located throughout Milwaukee County.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Stamper?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Ms. Ledger.
Good morning, Supervisor Stamper.
Are you familiar with the state process on what happens once the announcement is made?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Stamper, when an announcement is made of a nursing home closure?
For the downsizing of the three-year plan to downsize. My understanding is, once the announcement is made, the state starts to assist with the downsizing. And I see that you have an interdisciplinary team, and then another team. Is that in conjunction with the state process and the state team coming in to assist?
Madam Chair and Supervisor Stamper, the way that the process is currently going on for that downsizing is that, and I am unfortunately familiar with the process because I read the 132-page manual, but the state identifies a staff person to coordinate all of the efforts. There are regular meetings, and by regular I mean every 2 weeks at this point, at which the facility staff are present, the state staff are present, advocates are present, and for the purposes of discussion of the individuals that are enrolled in a given program, those MCOs are present. So the first part of the meeting may be discussing people who are enrolled in another managed care organization. That MCO will be there. They'll go over who's been identified, what plans are in place. They leave, and then the next one comes in to talk about those people that are enrolled in their managed care organization, and they go over each of the individuals and what actions have been taken on their behalf in terms of looking at community relocation. So the state convenes the process, and then everyone participates in it.
Okay. Director Colon, is that pretty accurate? Does it sound different than how many teams are there? Is that two teams?
Director Colon, do you want to join us at the table
and answer Supervisor Stamper's question? How much does the patient have to
come sit at the end of the table, and Ms. Collins will share her mic with you since she uses it so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and or Mr. Chair. And
back to the madam.
You're right.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Supervisor Stamper. So what she explained is correct, you know, in terms of all the partners that are involved. It consists of BHD staff, the Disability Resource Center, the Aging Resource Centers, which includes Stephanie Stein and Jerry Lide's team, also the care management organizations, including our family care here, and state staff, and also the big the advocates through disability rights. So that's the team that's described in statutes that are involved in the relocation process. Individualized plans need to be developed for each of these individuals, and then final approval comes through the state on the relocation effort. So what Ms. Ledger mentioned is correct.
Okay. So they work together, basically.
Yep.
All right, I got it. Thank you. And how will this announcement of the downsizing affect the capacity to hold, you know, the influx of patients that will be scheduled to relocate into the community?
Madam Chair and Supervisor Stamper, what would happen from a practical standpoint is that individuals will continue to be offered options counseling and will make a choice between whether they want to be in family care, PACE, partnership, and IRIS, and if they want to be in family care, which MCO do they want to be served by. So all of those decisions will have to be made. So for individuals who enroll within the Milwaukee County Family Care Program, again, they're assigned to a team, and the team will begin working with those individuals. We see, you know, and always hope to see a steady influx of individuals enrolling in the program. So because of the way that we have structured our care management function, not everyone would come in day one, and not everyone would be able to move out, obviously, because you have to put the plan together and you have to identify the resources. So it isn't everyone coming in on this day and then needing to leave the facility on that day. Individuals relocate and have been relocating as resources have been identified for them. So from a staffing standpoint, in terms of the teams, the capacity exists. Again, I'm fairly confident that the capacity exists within the provider network, but I don't have any way to even guess at how many of these individuals would, if they're family care eligible, would elect to enroll in this MCO, to Supervisor Mayo's point. There are other options for individuals, and until someone has an individual conversation with each of those people, mm-hmm. no one knows which option they're going to go for.
And just to add to the conversation, the state is currently pushing people into IRIS program. So they've made a big push this year to get more people into their program, which obviously benefits them. But family care is a less expensive program. There's been a lot of research done that shows that. But, again, the push this year is for IRIS. So there's, you know, it's hard to say what people will do, but that's
very
the
right
option
correct.
That's being pushed.
Yes, and then earlier Supervisor West posed a question about about one-time closure.
Mm-hmm.
Were you to clarify? Was that a unit? When you say how many people were closed at one time? Was that per unit or month or a quarter? Or what number is that attached to?
Sure. Madam Chair and Supervisor Stamper, I believe the nursing home closure that Mr. Hodson was referring to was a closure of an entire building.
Okay.
So there had been a stretch of time some years past where there were a lot of nursing home closures.
Mm-hmm. And what was that number again? I missed it.
Madam Chair.
It's 150.
150, okay.
Yeah. 150. There was a stretch over about a 4 to 5 year period that there were about 20 nursing homes in this county that closed. One of them that I can think of was Christopher East. It's now an apartment complex over on Ogden. That was a 308 bed facility. Now it wasn't completely full. I guess to answer your question, if I were, you know, there's a little speculation here, but I think our numbers were somewhere between 45 and 50 people where they would have already been in family care. If a nursing home had closed, we would have had to find another location for them, another spot. but that would be for one facility. But I'm just saying there was a stretch there where due to fiscal pressures, nursing homes were closing left and right over that period.
Okay.
So,
and what's the duration period? Is it, you know, to close one unit?
Madam Chair and Supervisor Stamper, I'm not sure what the time frames were for those particular closings. When a facility submits their plan to the state, they will provide them with a timeline.
Okay.
Right now, I don't remember what the specifics were in terms of how many months. My sense is those closures took place in less than a year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And last question. The survey numbers look positive. For your examples, how many were surveyed?
Madam Chair and Supervisor Stamper, this year, well, not this year, in 2012, mm-hmm. 1,985 members were surveyed. The surveys are going on in a rolling fashion, so that's the number that were surveyed, and of that number surveyed, 619 members responded and provided the information below.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, Supervisor Stamper. Anybody else? All right. Seeing nothing, this was an informational report.